I know. Okay, how many of you have it on your phone? Let me see them. How many of you need a Bible? We got them. You need a Bible? We got Bibles. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Michael, get you one. All right. And I don't even care if you underline in them. I think they're so cool. Yeah. All right, so we are in the middle of a series called The Sermon on the Mount, and I've said this every week, the Sermon on the Mount is where we learn how to live a transformed life in this new kingdom, all right? So how many of you want to know how to live the life that Jesus wants you to live? I do, because I've lived a life without Jesus, and it didn't go good all the time. So we're going to talk about that again today, and I'm just going to do a quick review. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus trucks up a mountain, sits down, that's why it's Sermon on a Mount, and first comes the disciples, and he starts teaching them how to live in this new kingdom, okay? And then later on, the crowd comes up, and he starts teaching a little bit different, okay? And the Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5, about chapter 5 to chapter 7, is really called the Beatitudes, and that's just a nice word called blessed. And we found out, because we go over it every week, what does blessed mean? Who can stand up and say it? Blessed means happy, fortunate, what else? Jubilant, when God extols or extends his blessing on you. All right, you don't get coffee after church or a lollipop. Come on. Okay, all right. So, if we are being called blessed because we now get to live in this new kingdom, this new life. That means you should not be sad and mad and depressed. I should have some joy because I am now living in a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Anybody living in the new kingdom? Let me see your face. Yeah, okay, good, you got it. All right. So last week, I'm not even going to go through it. Last week you did Matthew 5, 8, and it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it was all about having this pure heart. And I'm not going to tell you anymore. You need to listen to it if you weren't there. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 5, 9. That's where we're going today. Matthew 5, 9. Matthew 5, 9. Of course, what word does it start with? Yes, okay. Ready? Blessed are the peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. All right. If you're taking notes, write that down. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? All right. Now, how many of you ever heard the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, or you're just like your father, okay? All right. So here's what I want to ask. Who is saying that about you? Who is saying that you're a peacemaker? Because wait a minute, your heavenly father is a peacemaker, okay? And raise your hand if you're a son or a daughter. Raise your hand if you need to tell you. Okay, yeah, okay. Some people, okay. All right, so who is saying that about you? Who is saying that you're a peacemaker? Well, let me tell you, the day you received Jesus Christ, you became born again, okay? The inside of me, my spirit, it was brand new, born again. But my mind, not. My mind and my thinking, not. So that's why we have to renew our mind. And this is the best place to go, renew our mind to the Word of God. And when you renew your mind to the Word of God, you're going to find out your new identity. Everybody say, I have a new identity. And I know some people that love to throw it in your face, your old identity. And I go, oh, no, I have a new identity, okay? So when I have a new identity. Now, that only happens. I only figure that out as I get into the Word of God. And then I've got this thing called my body, my flesh. And the Bible says we have to crucify it. And simply means shut up, faith. You know, we're not doing that. We're not doing that, all right? So here we go. So I have a new identity that I need to know so I can live in the kingdom of God. And when I find out this new identity, I found out I am a daughter of God. You're a son of God. I have a new family. I have the DNA of this family of God inside of me. I have to find that out. And when I know that, I will start walking and living better. Amen. Now, how many of you, somebody would look at you and call you a peacemaker? They'd look at you, they'd look at your life, and they go, oh, yeah, they're a peacemaker. Or somebody looks at you and go, oh, you're just like the rest of us, okay? All right, how? I don't know, I don't like that, because I really believe that there should be something so distinctly different about you if you say, I'm a child of God, I'm a follower of the Jesus Christ, okay? And that should be, I'm a peacemaker. Everybody raise your hand and say, I am a peacemaker. Because I am a daughter of God. You're a son of God, okay? All right, now, let me tell you, there is a difference. Let me say this. Peace, being a peacemaker won't get you to heaven. But you'll sure look like heaven, right? You're a peacemaker, okay? Peacemaker won't get you to heaven. How do you get to heaven? I accept Jesus Christ, the free gift of Jesus Christ into my life, that my sins are forgiven. That'll get you to heaven. But being a peacemaker says you will start to resemble heaven. You'll start to look like heaven. You'll start to look and act like Jesus. That's what a peacemaker is. So I want to walk like Jesus. And the more I dig into the Word of God, the more I understand who my new identity is, the more I start doing that, and I will figure out I'm a peacemaker, and I'm going to look different. Amen. So open up your Bibles or flip over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. I love Romans 12, 18 because it has to do with being a peacemaker. All right, Romans 12, 18. If it is possible... Everybody put your finger up, like, if it's possible, okay? As much as it depends on you, live peaceably by all men. I'm going to read it out of the CEB translation. If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Who? All people. Who? Everybody. Oh, live at peace with people that are saved, that are going to heaven. Live at peace with people that aren't saved, that are far from God. Live at peace with people that you follow on social media. Live at peace with people that blocked you on social media. Live at peace with your in-laws and your outlaws. Jack used to say that all the time. Live at peace with what? Everybody. Okay, I'm gonna read that again. If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Point to the person next to you. All people. Yeah, all right. Now, that sounds like you have to be active. That's like a toddler. They're active, okay? Live at peace with all people. That means you have to be active. You have to be active. You have to be engaged. That doesn't sound like you just go, oh, peace. Oh, no. This is active. You have to be active. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. All right. The Apostle Paul is writing this. He's writing it to the church of Thessalonica. Still can't say that five times fast. Okay, he's writing to that church. So he's writing to who? Church folks. He's writing to who? Christians. Okay. Who's he writing to? Listen to what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, Christians, believers, church folks, okay? Honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you. Give you spiritual guidance. Verse 13, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of the work. And this is where I'm going. Underline this. And live peacefully with each other. Okay, so in Romans, he says, hey, you have to live at peace with everybody. And now he just tweaks it up. I mean, he's just tightened this up. And now he says, hey, you who are a child of God, you who have Jesus in your heart, you have to have peace among everybody. You have to have peace with the brethren. Look at the person the next to you and say, you're the brethren I have to have peace with. Yeah. In other words, wherever you go, you have to have peace. Wherever you go, we're supposed to be peacemakers. All right, now, better give you a definition of peace. Here we go. Peace means, oh, you'll love this, the absence of strife. Thumbs up. I like that. All right? And to have no division among yourselves. I don't know about you, but you turn on the news and you watch the world, or you go to work with the world, they live the opposite. They are full of strife. They are full of, right? It's bad. Yeah, go ahead. We need more words. All right, all right, okay, all right. So think about this. You could write this down. A peacemaker isn't always going to be a peacekeeper, all right? There is a difference. I found this out years ago, and I was like, what? What? Okay, so listen. Peacekeepers are different than peacemakers. So let me give you a couple of them. A peacekeeper is usually passive, okay? A peacemaker, they're active. A peacekeeper, they usually avoid. A peacemaker, they engage, okay? A peacekeeper kind of minimalizes the conflict. Oh, it's nothing really, okay? Peacemakers maximize the crucial questions and conversations with an eye towards resolution. Peacekeepers are content to keep surface control. Just, okay. Peacemakers, they dive deep and uncover the source of the problem and the misunderstanding. Peacekeepers often function out of weakness, of fear, and avoidance. Okay. Peacemakers, they operate out of faith and confidence and strength. Now, some of you might be like me that I'm working on. Listen, this is a work in progress in my life. Typically, I would have said years ago, you know, it's just not my personality. Okay? I just kind of avoid that kind of stuff. Talk to Pastor Sherry, man. She's on you right away. And I found this out at least 10 years ago. That's how long it took me to figure this out. And I found out, no. Peacemakers are called the sons and daughters of God. So I lost my excuse. I am a daughter of the Most High God, and I am called to be a peacemaker. So you get to chuck that thing out. But I will say, I'm still working on it, okay? I'm still working on it, right? So the Bible doesn't say you are to be a peacekeeper. The Bible says we are to be a peacemaker. Now, in fact, peacemakers will cause you sometimes to get uncomfortable. Okay, this is where I'm telling you this. I'm still working on this because a peacemaker will sometimes cause you to be uncomfortable, and they will step in the middle of a conflict and say, "Hey, we need to talk. We need to have a conversation because we ain't doing good. There's some this going on." Okay, everybody say, "I'm a peacemaker." Yeah. All right. Now, you can start sweeping it under the rug, and you're like, oh, everything's good. Not, okay? But a peacekeeper, listen to this, they don't sweep things under the rug. They're going to have a conversation because we want to be peacekeepers always. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read this. Peacemakers are comfortable to confront things. So everybody say, that's me. Some of you by faith, come on, that's me. Okay? They are comfortable with difficult conversations. Everybody say, that's me. That's me by faith, okay? So I'm going to come up and say, hey, listen, I can tell, you know, and we need to talk about this and we need to fix this because we are called to be what? Peace. Amen. All right. Now, it's sort of like, let me give you an example. I don't know if you've ever done this. Anybody ever clean out your closet? I have a massive closet because I don't have to share with anybody. I took over the whole thing. And every once in a while, I have to clean out my closet. Now, let me say this. It's in the beginning, it's messier. It's messier before I get to the end. It's messy. And I take all the clothes out. I try things on. I put a pile over here. And then I run out of piles. And then I got a pile on my bed. And it's really messier before it gets better. So it's difficult sometimes to avoid conflict. It's difficult to, it gets messy. Okay, but when you start having those conversations, it might be a little messy, but man, it gets better at the end. Everybody say, it gets better. You know, listen, if you see that person at the Walmart that you're like, and you can't do this, you got to fix that. That's not good because we're peacemakers, okay? Amen. All right, so by the way, a peacemaker is not avoidance. A peacemaker is active to clean up. Everybody say clean up. Clean up. Strife, discord, unity, conflict, contention, all right? So where we are, there shouldn't be any strife. Where we are, there shouldn't be any division because we are peacemakers, all right? Now, for me, and by the way, I am still a piece of work in this. But for me, when it comes to conflict with other people, when it comes to conflict with something that bothers me about what somebody did to me or what somebody said, okay, I'm working on this. I am so much better. But I came up with this. Actually, somebody told me about this, and I'm like, dang, I'm stealing that, okay? But I do this. Now I have a 24-hour rule. I have a 24-hour rule. When I have conflict with somebody did something, somebody said something, 24 hours. That means I'm going to pray about it in those 24 hours. I'm going to sleep on it in those 24 hours. And I'm going to, if I wake up and after 24 hours, I'm still thinking on this thing, I'm still thinking on this thing, I'm thinking on this thing, I am going to go talk to that person. Everybody say, I'm going to talk to him. Okay. All right. Now, why will I go talk to that person? Because I love them. All right? The love of God's in my heart, okay? So I'm going to have a conversation with that person, even if it's difficult, because if I don't have that conversation with that person who's just bugged me and we know that there's going on, I will hold it on the inside. Anybody ever do that? Anybody stay up all night because you did that? Okay? You'll do that. You'll hold it on the inside. And guess what? It doesn't belong like there. It doesn't belong in there. So if you hold it, now if you hold it on the inside, that's called a root of bitterness. I know this is a happy message. And offense. It grows into offense. That's the fruit of it. So I'm going to go talk to that person and not about that person. Everybody say, I'm going to talk to them and not about them. Okay, I've been guilty of this, you guys. I just thought, well, I should share it. No, you go talk to that person and not about that person, all righty? So let me ask you a question. Do people feel comfortable gossiping to you about somebody? Good, nobody raised their hand. Do they feel comfortable coming to you and just doing an event session about somebody? Good. Nobody raised their hand, okay? Or do they steer clear of you because they know you're going to grab them and say, hey, let's go talk to them? And we're going to put a stop to that, okay? Pastor Sherry taught me that. Thank you. I have learned many good things. She's laughing, but no, because this is not my comfort, but I found out I'm a what? A peacemaker, and that's who I'm called to be. Alrighty. So, by the way, sometimes, okay, and this is the balance, okay? Every little thing, you don't need to go up and confront so-and-so, okay? Okay? That's my ministry, Pastor D. No. Okay. But sometimes, in church, we ought to make it awkward when somebody comes to us and is gossiping about somebody over here, yeah? And we should come up and say, oh, that person, I just love that person. Let's go pray for that person. Let's make it awkward. Come on. Let's just grab them and say, okay? They'll can figure it out, okay? So, why? Because we are called to be what? Amen. Okay. Now, if you are just listening, okay, and not doing nothing, if you are listening, you are actually engaging in gossip. All right? You got to shut it down. Shut it down. Now, how many have ever heard of secondhand smoke? Yep. Okay. There's a big poster somewhere. I forget where I was. Okay. Secondhand smoke is somebody smoking, and they're blowing it out, and you're breathing it in. I didn't do the smoking, but someone's smoking, and I'm in a room, and there's just full smoke, and I'm breathing it in. I'm breathing in. It's called secondhand smoke. And listen to this. They said this is worser for you. I love saying that worser. I love kids. Okay? This type of smoke contains higher concentrations of carcinogens. In other words, it's really bad. Okay? Secondhand smoke. Now, how many of you have ever heard of, raise your hand, secondhand offense? It's just like secondhand smoke and maybe just as bad, okay? That's because somebody will come up and gossip, okay? Susie Q comes up here and she's gossiping to me about Mary Jane over there. And she's just venting and telling me what they did, what they said, and you can't believe that, okay? And I'm breathing in all that smoke. I'm breathing in all that smoke. And then Susie Q's like, I'm done. I'm over that. And I'm over here. I have breathed that in, and I'm now offended with Mary Jane over there, okay? All right? And I've got this offense going on. Secondhand smoke, secondhand offense. Not good, not good, because it starts producing something not good. All right. So when you are a what? Peacemaker, you're going to be, stay clear. Okay, you're going to stay clear, and you're going to encourage those people when they start, okay, telling you gossip. I was like, I'm not gossiping. Oh, yes, baby, that was gossip. When somebody comes and start gossiping, you're going to grab them by the arm and say, come over here, and you need to talk to Deb. Okay? You need to go talk to them. All right? Everybody say, this is fun. This is, oh, man, this is fun. Okay. Why? Because we're called to be peacemakers, and peacemakers are supposed to bring the culture of heaven down. We're supposed to be peacemaker culturers. All right. Just like your Heavenly Father is, He is a peacemaker, just like Jesus, who is the ultimate peacemaker. Amen? He came and He brought restoration for us when we were so far from God. So a peacemaker, you're going to be, your purpose is that I want to help restore and relationships with so-and-so, okay? I'm going to be a peacemaker. I want to restore relationships with me, okay? That's what peacemakers do. All right. There should be nothing that you hold against anybody. But Pastor D, I am against this person. Because Pastor D, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. You don't know how they talked to me. You don't know how they looked at me. Come on, I feel like I'm sitting at the dinner table with a bunch of little kids. He looked at me funny. I'm offended. You know what my remedy for that was? It was usually breakfast. I said, good, get a box of cereal, put it up, and you don't have to look at them. Yeah, we used to do that. Okay. But really, I do understand that sometimes there are situations that you don't go back into, like abuse, okay? Those are situations. But, okay, you can forgive from a distance, okay? You can forgive from a distance. Absolutely, absolutely. But I want to encourage you, if that's a situation, or just everybody in life, to set yourself free from offense and yuck, 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 yuck. Go forgive that person. And go have a conversation, if possible, with that person. Go forgive them. Everybody say, I love to forgive people. Because I'm a peacemaker. All right. Some of y'all have allowed strife, conflict, division, and on in your life, okay? And you need to pull that root up, get rid of it, go forgive that person, go have a conversation. Because if they come walking down the aisle and you're like, oh, I'm out of here, I'm going to grab you and say, go talk to them, okay? Go talk to them. Everybody say, go talk to them. Come on, grow up. No, don't say that. Okay, because guess what? Strife in, conflict in, discord in, okay, equals strife, discord, contention out. Yep. Peacemakers, there's action. There's a responsibility. Peacemakers, it's not passive, it's active, and you have a responsibility as a child or a son of God, daughter of God, to go have a conversation. Amen. So, question. What would it look like? What would you look like if you were a peacemaker? What would you look like? Now, every one of you has a sphere of influence that I may never get involved in. Some days I'm like, thank goodness, okay? But you have places where you work. You have your own families. You have people. Okay, so every one of you has places of influence. So what would it look like to be a peacemaker there, all right? What would it look like to be a peacemaker in your home? Husbands, wives, moms, dad. What would it, I know I'm getting close home. What would it look like in your home, all right? In marriages, okay, been there and done that, 33 years. In marriages, you can sweep it under the rug, sweep it under the rug, sweep it under the rug, okay? And avoid that conversation. And then you've got this thing building up in you. No, nobody ever did that. You're just so perfect, okay, all right. Listen, you got to go talk. You got to have those conversations because sometimes you will, I did this last week, stupid me. I didn't have a conversation, and I assumed the worst. Nobody's ever done that. Pastor D, pray for me, okay? I assume the worst, okay? And you then what happens is the enemy comes in, and you got all these negative thoughts. Jeez Louise, okay? So, let me tell you a story. Years ago, my kids were little, probably four kids, 2 years apart, okay? And this was the deal. It's Christmas time. I would buy Christmas presents for my family. I'd buy Christmas presents for Jack's family. I'd buy Christmas presents for my kids. I'd buy Christmas presents for the church, the office people. And this went on for a couple years. And one Christmas morning, I was pathetic. Just get ready. And we were just home. We hadn't even gone to Grandma's house for all the other. Okay, the kids are opening their gifts. They're opening their gifts, and I. You don't love me. There's no gift for me. I wasn't talking about my kids. I was talking about my husband, and he's like, "What are you talking about?" And then he reminded me. He's a very smart man. Reminded me about a month later, I thought we agreed. Okay. I erupted. It was not pretty. So, there forever, ever after, Pastor Sherry, what did Daddy do on Christmas Eve? We went shopping for Mom. Okay. Okay. All right. Listen, you bottle it up. You bottle it up, okay? And then at some little thing, at the wrong time or the wrong tone, and you raise your hand if you've ever done that. Come on, I feel like I'm the only sinner in this place here. Jeez Louise, thank you. Man, no, I'm forgiven. All right. Okay, listen, if you don't have the communications, you're not going to have resolution. You have to have these communications and watch your tone and do it at the right time. Well, you never. How come you're always? Okay, that right away. I've got my defense up so that, you know, right time. Okay, marriage counseling 101. Have fun with it. Okay, so what about parents? What does it look like to be a peacemaker? Don't you tell me how to raise my kids. I'm not, but I'm going to give you some Bible principles, okay? And I will say, I'll be the first to say, not the perfect parent. There are so many things. I'm a day older, a little smarter, but I don't want to do it all over again, okay? So, because I'm smarter, man, you know. All right, so ignoring your kid's behavior on something that you just totally dislike is not good. It's not being a peacemaker. How about this one here? I wrote down a couple cute ones. Okay. I just keep on ignoring little Billy Bob and he'll change. Not. Matter of fact, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get worse and worser. Yeah, okay. How about this passive love? I just going to love them. No. You have to have conversations with your kids. Okay? Don't bottle it up. Now, right way, right time, right tone, okay? Have conversations with them, all right? So I had parents that raised me. Jack had parents that raised me. And this was a conversation we had often about the home that we came out of and how it affected how we trained our kids. But we would have a conversation like this, and we would say, you know, growing up, there was never, especially if you knew my dad, there was never a conversation about what was acceptable, what was not. There was never a conversation that he was going to have with us, well, what was in boundaries and what was out of bounds. There was never a conversation. Okay, you know why? Because they had a conversation. Girl, okay, I'll be nice. Don't touch the knives on the wall that mama has hanging. Because if you do, you're going to chop your finger off and we're going to be in the ER. There have been conversations about that in the house I grew up, okay? So you have to have, that was silly stuff, I know. But you have to have conversations with your kids because you're the peace makers, all right? And you want peace in your house. And you know, Jack did a lot of explaining. He would talk. He'd just sit you down. You were there. Okay. Mine was the short version. Don't do this or chop your finger off or we're going to go to the ER, okay? Okay, but we had conversations with our kids. We wanted them to grow up to be responsible adults and make good decisions. Did they always know? But I know we tried, okay? Definitely, praise the Lord. Now, I want to say this. You cannot ignore your kids' behavior and just say, I'm just going to pray. I'm holier than thou. I'm going to pray. Yeah, you're going to pray. But listen, sometimes, you know, God has placed you, called you to be the parent, to have a conversation, the hard conversations, the right place, the right time, and the right tone. And by the way, there's a tone that you talk to your mama, and there's a tone you do not. Just thought I'd tell all of you that in case you didn't know that already. All right. So what does it look like to be a peacemaker if you're a student? What does it look like to be a peacemaker on your job? What about at church? Church, oh my gosh, they always do it that way. They don't do it that way. Just be quiet. Come on. Okay, what does it look like to be a peacemaker on social media? Okay? Peacemaker on social media. Okay, so you're getting ready to post something. You're ready to hit the button, okay, and post something. And the Holy Spirit goes, don't do that. Don't do that. And you know what? I think you should follow the Holy Spirit, okay? Because guess what? We are not to cause strife. We are to be peacemakers, okay? And now if he gives you the thumbs up when what you're ready to write, you go ahead. But you just, you know, be nice, okay? By the way, Jesus came to be a peacemaker, okay? So we're called to be a peacemaker and not bring strife. Say no strife, right? We're supposed to have resolutions. So that sums it up. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So I want, and you want, people to identify you by the way you live, by the way you act. She's a peacemaker, right? Your actions, the way you live, should identify. And though, listen, if I'm walking this out, living this, I'm going to say, to God be all the glory. Amen? To God be all the glory. And I want them to see that in me. Amen? All right, moving on. Matthew 5:10. Here we go. Matthew 5:10 and 11. Blessed, happy, fortunate, jubilant. Okay. Blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things, evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Jesus only gives two reasons why you get persecuted. And I'm like, whew. Because, you know, Pastor D comes in with like seven things some days, okay? He gives two reasons why you get persecuted. Okay, ready? By the way, the culture isn't getting any better. It's getting worser, All right? It is going so far from biblical values. Listen, I grew up in a neighborhood, and I don't think, there was probably one lady, Mrs. Hawley. She probably was born again. The rest of us were just good moral people, okay? We just lived that way when I grew up on this big old block, okay? But the culture is not doing that no more, okay? It's not. So what if you stand for righteousness? What if you stand for what's right? What if you stand for what's right? What if you stand and you live for what's right? Guess what? People don't like you. Yeah, they call that persecution. Yeah, amen. All right. Listen to this. Some people will get upset with you because of their lifestyle. You convict them. This was me. I'm in college, haven't met Jesus. And there's this girl, she's the party girl, she's the pretty girl. She's always dating the most good-looking, popular guys on campus and invited to everything. And she goes home one summer, I'll call her Janie. She goes home one summer and she comes back changed. She met Jesus, totally changed. I mean changed. Let me tell you, changed. Her lifestyle, the way she dressed, her potty mouth, no longer potty mouth. Let me tell you, everything changed about her. You're just like, she didn't go to the parties anymore. What? Okay. So we were in the same major, by the way. We were in the same major, and the major had like this hallway where we all were in the same classes and stuff like that. And she would come up and see me now, and she'd go, "Hi, Dee, how you doing? What's new?" And I'm like, I was not excited to have her come up and talk to me. You know why? Because I saw her life now. I saw the way she acted, her kindness, her love, the way she talked to me. Who, me? All right? And it convicted me. It did. Yeah. All right. Smile. Here we go. All right. Sometimes people just get mad at you because you convict them by your life. You don't even have to open up your mouth. Matter of fact, don't open your mouth first. Just live the life. So, by the way, young people, old people, middle-sized people, whatever people, if you make a decision to live righteous, to live for what's right, if you make that decision, okay, when it isn't easy, when your friends are like clocking out there, okay, there are going to be people who are going to, the word is persecute. By the way, what I wrote that down. What is persecute? Persecute means to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatments. Especially because of religion or political beliefs, to annoy or trouble persistently. Okay. There's going to be people that, you've made a decision, I'm received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's part one. Part two is you decide, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to live right. Okay, in this new kingdom and my new identity, okay? There's going to be some people, there's going to be a whole lot of people, they're not going to understand why you made that decision. They're not going to understand, how come you're not coming out Friday night with everybody? How come you're not at da-da-da-da-da, okay? They won't understand that because your life is now on a different path. I used to be over here, now I'm over here. And you have to understand the path that you're on. You have to understand, I mean, I understand, I'm on a different path. I have a different purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been called to be an ambassador. I'm a representative of heaven on earth, okay? And when you understand that, when you say, now it's really interesting. You can have baby Christians and mature Christians. You can be a baby Christian. I'm not looking at anybody, okay? You can be a baby Christian and you've just received Jesus. You can be a mature Christian when you say, I'm going to live righteously. Okay? And when you live righteously, okay, you are not going to indulge in the things I used to indulge in. Okay? How's that for a nice word there? Okay? You're not going to do that. Why? Because now I have a purpose. Now I have a new identity. Now I have Jesus. And I don't even want to. Amen. Thank you. So that is why we live to him. That is why we live devoted life. How's that? That is why I whip out my Bible every single day. That is why I memorize scriptures. You know why? Because then I'll hide the word in my heart so I won't live that other way. And listen, I'm telling you, when you understand that, when you are a believer that understands that, man, you just go, I want everyone to know their new identity so they'll live that way. This is a new reality, okay? And then when you're spending time with the Word, what's it? 2 Timothy 3. Something or other. All scripture is given and inspired by God, all right? It is God-breathed. And when you know that, you're like, I am so hungry. I was upside down. I am so hungry to read this because God's going to speak to me. God's going to give me some affirmation because some days I just got beat down. God's going to give me some ways and just telling me he loves me and give me some understanding on how I'm going to live. You ought to be so hungry for that, all right? So it's so important. Now, it's important to know that because if you are the mature Christian, people are going to come against you. It's called persecution, okay? They're going to harass you. And the culture is just going to go the opposite. So you need to know, you need to know all of this so you live really big, all righty? Now, that is why Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. So the disciples, us, would know how to live this new kingdom, this new life. Man, so good, so good. Okay. All right. So, guys, we are guaranteed to be persecuted, to have resistance. Okay. Listen to this fact. It's estimated that over 100,000 people in the world are killed for their faith, for their Christian faith every year. I know, 100,000 people every year. We haven't had that kind of persecution. But I want to tell you, it's ramping up. It's ramping up, okay? It's getting there. So, you need to know what the culture's doing, and you need to say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to live for Jesus regardless. Amen? Amen. Okay. Let's go. Second reason Jesus gives for persecution. All right, it's number two, for his sake, for Jesus' sake. All right, second reason for persecution, for his sake, for Jesus' sake. I'm going to read verse 11 again. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my name's sake. If you attach yourself to Jesus, guess what? You're going to have this hit you. If you really are living this life, okay, let me get a sidetrack. One of my kids said this, I don't know who, but anybody know what See You at the Pole is? It's every September, third weekend, Wednesday or something like that. You gather around, especially the high schools, you gather around the pole. Christians gather around the pole, and they pull the flagpole, and they pray for their school, they pray for their teachers. And I don't know what kid said that the first year. They says, whoa, I didn't know they were a Christian. They came to the pole. I blessed be. All right? Mature Christians, okay, you'll stand for what's right. You're not banging, beating, and but you'll live what's right, okay? And I'm telling you, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to have resistance, okay? And people are going to say nasty things about, false things about you, things that aren't even true, okay? And the people that you thought your friends aren't going to be your friends anymore because you said and you're living the life of a believer. Amen, okay? And the Bible says that's going to happen. Okay, and it happened to the prophets, and it happened to Jesus, so guess what? Gonna happen. So don't come in, Pastor D, you can't believe it. I know, I read my Bible. You're gonna have it, all right? All right, now, have you ever noticed, well, first off, the name of Jesus, okay, but have you ever noticed when people talk about another religion with another name, no big deal. You know, whatever. But man, you mention the name of Jesus and they're all over you, okay? Anybody ever notice that? I mean, you can talk about this religion and that religion and they're like, whatever. You mention Jesus. Okay, now, the Bible tells us that at the mention of the name of Jesus, the demons in hell all trembled. the mention of the name of Jesus, and they're trembling, okay? So if you know that there's power in the name of Jesus and it's going to make hell shake, don't be surprised if the earth is shaking when you're tossing the name of Jesus around you, when you're living for Jesus, okay? If they did it to Jesus, sir, you're going to get it. I'll say, yes, praise God, amen. All righty, so here's a question. Will you stand strong? And it's hard. Listen, will you stand strong when you get resistance? Doesn't that sound nicer than persecution? I like that, resistance. Yeah, it just sounds so nice, okay. But will you stand strong when you're being persecuted, when people lie about you, when you don't get invited to the parties? One time, all my friends got invited someplace, okay? And I was like, my friends, my friend who had the friends over there, and I was like, I didn't get invited. And my other friend who was invited, she goes, Pastor D, you're glad you didn't go because you know what was going on there. I was like, oh, that's why I didn't get invited. Okay, praise God. A little resistance. I didn't get invited. That's okay. All right. How about, will you stand when you don't get the promotion because of the name of Jesus who you stand for? How many, I know people, that's happened, all right? So, are you willing to stand and give up on earth and have all of heaven? I am, I'm going to stand, all right. Let's see. Oh, praise the Lord, we're doing good. I love that clock today, praise the Lord. I don't know about guys, but I really get charged up when I think about, that God saw ahead. Even though Christians are in this escape mentality, I can't wait till Jesus comes back. I hope he comes back real soon, okay? Even though the world is going crazier, even though the culture's just like, you are off the deep, right? Okay? God saw all of that. And he has called you for such a time as this. I could cry. He saw you. He saw me. He's ordained you to stand and be a light and go to the dark places, okay, and make the devil shake and tell them and love them like Jesus. God saw that for such, say, I'm here for such a time as this. Amen. All right. Woo. Okay. Praise God. So, we are called to have resistance. We are called. But I want to tell you, that tells me there is a revival coming. And it is upon this earth, and it is in pockets around this nation and around the world. And I'm telling you, with the greater the resistance, the persecution, the lying and attacking on you, the greater the revival. And there is coming a great revival that'll sweep the land. And you are here for such a time as this. So you can be a baby Christian. I'm not looking at anybody. Or I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean I'm going to be Billy Graham standing before thousands and millions and all of that stuff. But I want to be my part in the kingdom of God. And today, this is my part. Tomorrow, what's your part, okay? How many of you want to be a part of it? Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what. Woo! So, yeah, it's persecution in the United States. You know, everybody know what Go Victory Channel is? Write that down. Channel, okay? They put on Christian news, like really what's going on, not like such and such news channel, okay? And you're going to hear what's going on, that there is a persecution and a harassment and a troubling on Christians. But let me tell you, there's just such cool things happening, and you don't hear it on that station, but you'll hear it on this station. You're like, man, God is doing stuff from across the United States. Okay, here's my one story. Okay, there's this kid in high school, and he got harassed and persecuted by his school, the high school, because he had, of course you know where he's from, he had an American flag on the back of his pickup truck. Yep. And he was harassed. Did they tell him he couldn't? I can't remember. That. Yeah, they couldn't. So this company, and it wasn't a big company, but this company went and bought him a brand new spanking truck. You know those boys down south, they like their trucks, and painted it like the American flag. Woo! Okay, there's good things going on, guys, and there's persecution going on. So will you stand? It's more fun to stand. It is, okay? Whew. Okay, I want to finish my assignment. Praise God, praise God. All right. I'm thinking I'm not going to say this part. All right. Oh, yeah. Matthew 5, verse 12. This is my last scripture. Matthew 5, verse 12. But I have a lot more to say. So don't. Matthew 5, verse 12. King James Version. Rejoice. Matthew 5, 12. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. He's talking about persecution. Rejoice. Rejoice. Be glad. Exceeding and glad when you're persecuted, resist, and harassed. Okay? Okay. This is so you don't fall asleep. You can say, Pastor, he's just jumping all over the place. Okay? Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. For as they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Israel, God's chosen people, God gave them directions, how to live, how to serve him, all that stuff. And then they start going askew. Okay? They're not doing it. So God would speak to the prophets, and they would come and tell Israel, God, thus saith the Lord, you all stop doing that. Return to God, okay? So the prophets would come. And a lot of times the prophets would tell them stuff that totally what the culture's doing. So, you know, they got their hackles up, okay? So the prophets would come, all right? Now, those prophets, they got persecuted. Yeah, they got persecuted. By the way, they got persecuted, Jesus got persecuted, and you're going to get persecuted. Harassed, we like that word. Resistance, okay? Now, we started week one, and we said the Sermon on the Mount, the first five chapters, 1 through 7, are called the Beatitudes because they talk about being blessed. But we said that the Beatitudes are progressive. They start here, and Jesus said, I came to open up the kingdom of heaven, that all could come in. Those were far. Okay, so he's talking about salvation. And then it progresses down here. And he said, and next, it's going to end with you're going to be persecuted for this salvation you have. Okay, so it's progressive. And that's what verse 12 is all about. Persecuted. Hallelujah. Okay, now, by the time you get to verse 12, we all have a different perspective. We're like, yay! Happy! I'm excited! I'm joyful for persecution because I'm going to stand for my Lord and Savior. And nothing's going to stop me from standing. There's a shift in my mentality. There was a shift in the kingdom. And now I got a different mindset. All right? Instead of, oh, man, you know, they were so mean to me. I didn't get it. Okay. Praise God. Whew. And you know, when you have this different mentality about living a new life in the kingdom of God, so what? Darkness is getting darker and darker. So what? I have the Jesus, the light of the world that's getting brighter and brighter, and that's the promises. So what? Everybody, you should just go, so what? Okay? So, Matthew 5, just to sum it up, okay? 9, we talked about being a peacemaker, okay, and how they'll call you sons of God, daughters of God, okay? So here's the question again, what are they calling you? They're like, oh, they're a peacemaker. Amen. Okay, and then verse 12, I want to read this out of the Amplified, verse 12, and then we'll wrap up. Be glad, be supremely joy when you get persecuted, for your reward in heaven is great. It's strong. It's intense, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, it's going to happen to you. So, guys, we have to have this mindset. They did it to them. They did it to Jesus. They're going to do it to me. I don't care. I have the greater one who lives inside of me. Amen? And I'm going to, you know, I always laugh. So what if you take me out? I'm going to heaven, you know? It's a win-win. It's a win-win. And, you know, sometimes you have to remind yourself, it's a win-win. I'm winning. I'll win up there. I'll win down here. It's a win. It's praise God. But listen, I don't want to lose my focus on what's the important things. This world is temporal. The kingdom that I've been restored into to have a relationship with God, that's my forever kingdom. Okay? And I'm just here for temporary. Temporary. Might hit 100. Just you watch. Amen. Okay, how do I finish this? All right, I want you to all just get quiet, all right? I spit out a lot of things, and I want to say this again. I am working on this stuff. I have failed on being a peacemaker, been a peacekeeper, all right? But I'm working on this, okay? Because that's really who I am. That's who I'm called to be. I'm going to put my shoulders back and say, I am a daughter of God. I'm a peacemaker so that I can show people the better way to live. Okay, so amen. So I just want to say that, okay? And this persecution, so what? Be joyful. Joyful, just laugh and say, so what? All right? Yeah, it is hard. But you know, when it comes to have the love of the Father, it never changes. I have the Holy Spirit who's my standby always. I have Jesus, my Savior, who's always making intercession for me. I have my forever home in heaven, and this is just temporary. So what? So bow your heads and close your eyes, okay? Just get really quiet and think about, just let the Holy Spirit, not Pastor D, just think about today, okay? Think about it. Take a moment and just let God speak to you. Let God speak to you, okay? Maybe he's saying there's some adjustments you have to make in your life, all right? Maybe there's somebody you need to get right with, that there's been this strife and this discord, and you now are a peacemaker, and you're going to go make it right. Maybe it's some conversations you need to have with your spouse, with your kids, whoever, okay? Maybe, I don't know. Praise God. Just, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to, what have you been saying to me? All right? Yep. Yep, that's who I am. Yep. And I'm doing this not because I'm better than people, Lord. I'm living this life to show them you. To show them you. Lord, I want to live a higher life. I want to live this. You know, we always talk about, I'm the head. I used to pray this, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. When I'm a peacemaker, I am a head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm going out as a representative and an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited to live this life. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one more thing, because you know, you never know. But if you're here today, I want to ask a question. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? I was 21 years old till somebody told me that I needed to. I thought just being a churchgoer, I thought just taking care. Listen, I took communion because that's what they did, okay? And I didn't know I needed a personal Savior. And then somebody said, Dee, that's not it. What do they say? That's not cutting the mustard, okay? And I thought just going to church and doing all the church things would get me to heaven, all right? And I found out I needed a personal relationship with Jesus. I simply said, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. And all this stuff, it's not working. I ask you to come into my life. So I'm going to ask, is there anybody here that's never prayed that prayer, just asked, and you'd like to receive Jesus? Today is an awesome day to ask Jesus Christ into your life. Matter of fact, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. Somebody says, oh, the most important decision was when I married my wife. Nope, that was just a good one. The most important decision you'll ever make is ask Jesus. And you know, you don't have to perform for him. Gosh, I'm so tired of performing, right? You just simply surrender your life. So if you're here and you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life, I want to pray with you. Or if you're here and you did that, Pastor D, I did that. I remember doing that. But you know what? I just have just gotten away. I've not included him in my life. I've not just had this continual relationship. Well, you know what? That's called, you can just ask him to just jump back in. We call that recommitting your life. So if you'd like to receive Jesus for the first time or you'd like to recommit your life, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Just raise your hand. Someday you'll stand before heaven and you'll say, I raised my hand down here. So if that's you, just say, we want to pray for you. Okay? And maybe you didn't raise your hand. Raise your head. Yeah, raise your hand. So I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me. And if you're like, I didn't raise my hand. So if you want to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you have to say it with your mouth. It says, if you would believe in your heart confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He'll come and live in you forever, okay? So I want you to, as a matter of fact, everybody stand. We're going to pray this together. Come on. Put your hands up. Say, Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me because I'm a sinner. I thank you that Jesus rose from the dead for the sinner, for me. And this day, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my Savior now. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, heaven goes bananas. We go bananas. Heaven just gets so excited, and we're excited for you. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you rededicated your life, I have some altar ministers up here. We want you to have a Bible. We have some material for you. Or, hey, if you want to come up and we'll agree, we are great agreeers. We will agree on the Word of God for whatever's going on in your life. And anyway, you are the head and not the tail. Go shine your light. Be a peacemaker in Jesus' name. Amen.